A15, the U.S. has been reeling from a mass shooting in a synagogue in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, likely to be the deadliest anti-Semitic attack in American history. The killing of 11 people came just over a week before the country's midterm elections and a day after the arrest of a Trump supporter for sending pipe bombs to prominent political opponents of the president. We can tell you funerals are underway for some of the victims, and President Trump has not received a particularly warm welcome in Pittsburgh. Not by all, anyway. Some protests there. Let's try to navigate these contentious and tragic events with Stephen Herman, White House Bureau Chief for Voice of America. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Good morning.
I think we should perhaps start, given this was a major story in another country, with a brief update on what exactly happened there.
Well, what we had happen is on a Sabbath, Saturday morning, at a very historic synagogue in the city of Pittsburgh on Squirrel Hill, a gunman who lived not too far away, just across the Monongahela River, walked in to that house of worship with several Glock pistols and an automatic rifle, and opened fire, killing 11 mostly elderly congregants and wounding some police officers who responded. And yes, we've had a lot of shootings in the United States, as you know, mass shootings, but this one was really something very different, and just the way that it happened and how it happened has really stunned this country.
Why then, in all of the sadness, is President Trump receiving such a cold welcome from protesters who seem to be accusing him of breeding hate?
Well, there is a portion of the Jewish community in Pittsburgh which had sent an open letter to the president saying, do not come until you denounce white nationalism. There also was concern from the mayor of the city that because police are needed today to provide security for the funerals, this would put too much of a strain on the police department, possibly, and that he should wait. And also members of the Jewish community who maybe weren't opposed to the president coming at some point also said, look, we're burying our dead today, so this is not the day to come. The president did come. He just left University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. He spent an hour and 25 minutes there after visiting the synagogue. He was accompanied by the First Lady Melania Trump, and then his daughter Ivanka, along with her husband Jared Kushner, who of course is Jewish, and Ivanka converted to Judaism.
Yeah.
So perhaps that taking some of the sting out of it for at least some of those in mourning in Pittsburgh.
Well, yeah, so in President Trump's defense here, if this had been an attack on a mosque, or if this had been an attack on groups of refugees or migrants of any kind, then maybe we could say it fits the rhetoric that sometimes President Trump himself has been feeding. But with his son-in-law being Jewish, his daughter's conversion, himself gathering Jewish support when he was elected, it doesn't seem like the most likely group to be associated with persecution under President Trump. Is that a fair comment?
Well, what we know, the fact is that whether it is a coincidence or not, since Donald Trump became president, the number of anti-Semitic incidents has been going up quite markedly in the United States. Jews only represent about 2% of the population currently in this country, but about 65% of the incidents of hate apparently were directed at the Jewish community over the past year or so in this country. So you can say that it, for some reason, it's really out of proportion to the population, and it has also been increasing. And what we have seen is an emboldened alt-right, so-called alt-right movement, along with those who would identify themselves as neo-Nazis and Ku Klux Klan and other of their ilk who have felt, for whatever reason, more emboldened to march and to post messages of hate on social media in this country.
Right. President Trump has perhaps, with his America First rhetoric, gone too far at times to certainly not doing enough to dissuade those groups who might agree with him on certain points. But is it going too far again to come to this point of blaming President Trump for this attack in any fashion?
Well, there have been people out there who are linking the president to it in the sense of his words. That was the same situation we had seen even before this attack, after mail bombs started showing up at CNN and at the intended for the offices of prominent Democratic Party members, almost to a person, people that the president had criticized during his Make America Great Again rallies. And those rallies have, of course, been increasingly frequent as we lead up to the midterms. The president and the White House have strongly rejected any notion and have rejected that perhaps the president should change his rhetoric. But at his last rally, he did say he was going to tone it down. He was a little bit subdued, but I don't think anyone who knows and has been covering Donald Trump, such as myself, expect him to stay very subdued for very long. And in fact, on social media, he has been quite critical since the synagogue attack of the so-called what he calls the fake news, and saying it is the media that's inciting all of this. So, yeah. You know, as say what you will.
He was also critical on social media of the LA Dodgers manager Dave Roberts on the day of this attack. We covered this yesterday, but it doesn't look like he was feeling particularly sensitive towards the victims as the story emerged on the day of the World Series decider.
Yeah, so what we have heard is that the anti-Semitic statements that he put out very quickly on the day of the attack and the tweets came after some consultation, for lack of a better word, with his daughter and son-in-law, who really drove home the message that he needed to come out with quite a forceful language. So yeah, it's a very interesting family dynamic. Yeah, look, Donald Trump is a 71-year-old white guy who grew up in Queens. He's to some degree quite typical of people from that background, of that generation. Now, I've observed most every public appearance and utterance of his since he's become president. I don't necessarily think that Donald Trump fits into the classic definition of an anti-Semite or a racist, but like people of that generation and his background, they perhaps have certain stereotypes about people. We've seen right. that in his statements that he's made in regards to African Americans, to Jews, to Asians, time again. So I think some people, I mean, to out and out call him a racist or an anti-Semite, that I think does give some ammunition for the White House and for the president to push back on that. Of course, a lot of people accuse him of speaking in code, though, and using words like nationalist. And he claims that's not doesn't mean white nationalism. It means someone who wants to defend the interests of their own country rather than being, as he would say, opposed to being a globalist.
Right, but he must be aware that these terms are wrapped up in connotations of history, and indeed he has been accused of opportunism rather than having any particular strong view of his own. We will see closely how this affects the midterms, but it's not looking particularly positive for the Republicans and for President Trump right now. And this story won't help. Steve Herman, White House Bureau Chief for Voice of America, thank you for joining us.
Always glad to talk to you. Thanks. Bye-bye.